Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to share your word today. God, I thank you that you've allowed us to come back in safety. You've allowed us to come back, Lord, with our hearts refreshed and our bodies refreshed. And God, I'm so excited to share the word of the Lord today. And I pray that our ears will be open and our eyes will be open, our minds will be open. And Father, we will receive the word of God today. God, there will be people here today that will hear the word of God. But more than that, God, we will receive the word of the Lord today. And we thank you for the difference that it's going to make in our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I have a scripture I want to read to you, and I didn't even tell the boys about it, so they don't even have it. But listen to this scripture. Darlene and I have been talking about this scripture for the last few days. In Isaiah 54 and verse 2, the NIV says, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent, curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." The scripture is talking about stretching out, doing more than what you're doing now, believing for more than what you're believing for now, going further than you are now. It's talking about strengthening your stakes, strengthen the home so that you can reach out further. And it's really ironic that God just dropped this verse in our scripture. We didn't even know for sure where it was at. We had to Google it. But listen to the New Living Translation. It says, "Enlarge your house, build an addition. Spread out your home and spare no expense." Isn't that a wonderful translation? Build your house. You know what we're doing in March? We are bringing people in from around the world. At this point, we don't know how many are coming in. We've invited, I think, maybe... We've invited 20. Not all will be able to come because we're only paying for a one-way airline ticket, and we're going to take care of their housing and their food while they're here. But not everybody can afford the second part of their trip, so they won't be able to make it. But we do have several people that are coming, and many of you have opened your homes and said, "We would be glad to host a missionary. We'd be glad to host a pastor or a bishop or a family," and we certainly appreciate that. We will let them know that they can only stay a few days, because one time we opened up our house to some Kenyan missionaries, African missionaries, and they stayed for over a month. And we didn't get tired of them. I just kept looking at my watch and thinking, any day now. But it was a pleasure to have them in our home. And we'll make sure that they don't stay forever. But would you just consider, if you feel like maybe you can't house them in your home, maybe you could put them up in the hotel. We're getting special rates from the Hampton Holiday Inn this year, and we will certainly entertain and we will receive your offering to help pay for their motel. Amen. So what we're doing is we are stretching ourselves. We're stretching ourselves. We've never done this before. Now, I have been, and Darlene and I have been together to missions conferences. One in particular, we went for several years to San Antonio, where the church paid for the pastor and his wife to come to the meeting. They paid for the hotel. They paid for all of your food. Plus, they paid for all of the missionaries, and they would have 20, 30 missionaries in their church for that week. And they blessed us tremendously. Well, it's our turn to bless others. Amen. Have y'all been blessed? Amen. Don't look. Would you get rid of that old sour looking face? How many's been blessed? Amen. How many knows if we've been blessed, then we too should be a blessing, right? Amen. And we'll share a little bit of that with you in the days to come. But we are dedicating the entire month of October to missions awareness. We do this every year. We've done it for several years. And we're going to take 4 Sundays. You're going to hear mission sermons. You're going to hear testimonies. You're going to see videos. You're going to hear from different people in the church what we're doing around the world and in our local community. And it's just a reminder that God loves everybody. I'm so glad. Who said that scripture? Lou said that scripture a while ago. For God so loved the world. He didn't say, "For God so loved the USA." That's right. He loved the world. And he gave his son for the whole world. And so God loves all the people of the world. He loves all the ethnic groups, all the nations. He loves them all. And sometimes we live in this little bubble called United States of America. And we think everything around the world is just like it is there at home. But for those of you that have been with us on missions trips, you know what it's like. It's a different world. And I'm not just saying, you know, a different location. It is a different environment, different cultures, and everything is different. And so, you know, my desire as your pastor is that, you know, maybe, just maybe, two or three, maybe four people will be called to the mission field this month. Wouldn't that be awesome? Maybe God begin to deal with their heart and answer the call to missions. Somebody's got to go all the time. We need full-time missionaries, and we need missionaries that will just be sent from time to time. Thank you for your enthusiasm. This is going to be really good today. How many knows we're not getting any younger? Some of you, probably 30 years ago, you probably said, boy, I'd sure like to go to Africa. 30 years ago, I'd like to go on a mission trip, and you're still sitting there thinking, I'd sure like to go. Well, can I tell you something? Get your passport. That'll help to start the motivation. Get your passport. Your passports, they're good for 10 years, right? I've already gone through two passports. My first passport had so many visas and stamps on the inside of it, I had to send it back to D.C., and they had to add pages to it because I filled it up. But what a wonderful joy and testimony it is to say, what we get to go around the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that have never heard the gospel. What a joy it is. Okay, so let's go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. I'm calling this message today, Addicted to Missions. Everybody say it with me. Addicted to missions. Say it again. Addicted to missions. Not everybody here is going to sell your house, sell your car, and move to Central America or South America. You're not going to, there's very, very few people will answer that call. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people here that can get involved in missions other ways. Wow. I may just have to shut this thing down pretty soon. Y'all going to have to show a little more excitement, okay? I haven't got to preach here. By the way, Lou, thank you so much for filling in the last two Sundays. I heard nothing but good reports of Lou's messages over the last 2 weeks. And I thank God for God-called, anointed associate pastors like Lou and Tiffany who just take it by the reins. And they don't call us and say, oh, we got a problem here. What are we going to do? In fact, I said, don't call us. If there's a problem, solve it. Don't let us know about it. Don't ruin our vacation, right? So they did just that, amen. So Romans 1 and 14, addicted to mission. Paul says here, have you found it? I have a great sense of obligation. I have an obligation to the people in both the civilized world and the uncivilized world, or the rest of the world. In other words, barbarians. Remember that time he had the opportunity to preach to the barbarians on the island of Malthus? And so Paul said, I've got this obligation. I've got this burning on the inside of me. I've got to preach to those people, the uneducated, the educated. I'm eager to come to Rome also to preach the good news to you. I've got a burning in my heart. I've got a desire. I've got to not just preach to nice, comfortable churches, but anywhere God opens the door around the world, we're going to preach the word. And here's what Paul's saying. If I can get a man, no matter what color, no matter what race, no matter what his language, his capacity or his acquirements, he is my creditor. And I am defrauding him of what he has a right to expect from me if I do not do my best to bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did y'all catch that this morning? I am a debtor to those people that have not heard the name of Jesus. I'm a debtor to those who have not received Jesus Christ. And he says, I have a passion. I have a burning. In fact, the Greek word is prosthumos. You know what that means? It simply means I am on fire on the inside. I can't just sit here and do nothing. I've got to preach the gospel. And somebody said, well, you know, that was the Apostle Paul. He was called and anointed of God to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Can I tell you something? Every one of you sitting in that maroon colored chair this morning, every one of you listening by live stream today, you have been called by Jesus. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors don't sit in their hometown. They don't sit in their home church and just do nothing. Ambassadors go. Everybody say go. Go. Look at your neighbor and say go. Get out of here. Here's a scripture that I tried to quote while ago. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Here's another translation. But if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it any longer. That's the kind of passion that Paul had for the lost. That's the kind of passion he had to preach the good news. That's the kind of passion that we as believers in the 21st century church should have for the lost and for those that have not once heard the name of Jesus. Romans 1 and 16. I'll try my best just to be real slow and methodical this morning, but not dead. Is that all right? Romans 1 and 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Huh? First to the Jew. How many knows he came to the Jew first? The Jew respected him. The door was flung wide open for the Gentiles, for you and I to come in. We're not Jewish by race, but we are Jewish by birth. We've been born again, right? And so we are now a part of God's family because Paul said, I am not ashamed to preach the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. So my question this morning is, how is it that we as a church, a New Testament, modern day church, how can we just completely be unmoved, uninterested in the purposes that God has for the people of this world? How is it that we can sit idly by and allow people to go to hell without hearing the name of Jesus? You say, Pastor, I'll never go to Africa. My diabetes, my polio, it won't allow me to go. But you know what? You can go. Because when you send somebody, you are going. Is that right, Luke? When you send somebody, you are, in effect, going. And so I think it's time for Solid Rock Family Church that we kind of lengthen those cords and strengthen those, dig those stakes down a little bit deeper and make room for growth and make room to change our attitude about things and to embrace the priorities of God. Amen? Amen? Embrace what God cares about. Are you willing to give up the American dream for God's dream? Are you willing to give up the white picket fence to do what God's put in your heart to do? How many knows that our world is in trouble? Man, I tell you what, let me just back up. Let's narrow this down a little bit. The United States of America is in big trouble. And before election, I'm going to preach, and I will probably make some church members a little upset, but I feel like in my heart I need to explain some things. But our country is weaker than it's ever been. Our moral compass is spinning out of control. Our ethics is just, well, I mean, there's no ethical compass. There's no spiritual compass, and our country's in trouble. And you know, it's easy to say, well, I blame the White House or I blame the courthouse. But how many knows we ought to blame the church house for not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? Somebody ought to write a country song. It ain't the White House and it ain't the courthouse. It's the church house. Amen? By the way, let me just say something right here. Register to vote. If you haven't registered to vote, you've only got 3 days left in the state of Missouri to vote. Wednesday is the last day. You need to register to vote, and not just register to vote, but you need to vote. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. You need to vote. Don't you dare complain about the way our country's going and you don't exercise your freedom to vote, your right to vote. This nation's in trouble. And if we don't, I'm going to tell you what, this is the most critical election that you have ever lived, that you've ever seen in your lifetime. And we better pray and make some changes in our country, or we're going to go places we've never been before in this country. Amen? Anybody dare me to preach a message on that someday? Come on, just dare me. You dare me. I'll do it. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. Any church that is not seriously involved in world evangelism has forfeited its right to call itself a church. Because the church of Jesus Christ believes in evangelism. We believe in reaching around. Look at all these faces. You see these faces on all these posters all around the building here this morning? Those faces represent nations. Those faces represent ethnic groups. Those faces represent real people in real places. Amen. So I want to remind you today that we have to take this world evangelism commitment serious. Amen? Amen. Amen. We can't have the attitude, well, I don't care if people crash into eternity without God. I don't care if let them go to hell. That's their choice. Well, you know what? Our choice is to at least give them an opportunity to hear the name of Jesus before they die. And I've got some statistics here I'm going to share with you here in just a few minutes. So my prayer today is, God, give us a baptism of compassion for those that are lost. You know, there's lost people right here in our community. There's lost people, right? I bet there's lost people in your neighborhood, on your block, in your little subdivision. God, give us a compassion like we've never had before for the lost. Open our eyes. Yeah, perform eye surgery, Lord, so that we can lift up our eyes and see that truly the harvest is great, but it's the laborers that are so few. I don't know how in the world we as believers cannot even be emotionally involved when we know that people are dying every day and going into eternity without Jesus Christ. I mean, how many knows hell's a long, eternity's a long time. You say, Pastor, do you really believe in hell? Absolutely. I'll preach on it sometime. I will. I'll preach on it sometime because hell is a real place. How many believes heaven's a real place? Well, I'm telling you what, hell is just as real. And somebody said, well, how in the world can we suffer forever? Well, I don't want to find out. Do you hear me? I don't want to find out. And we're going to have to get involved. Getting involved doesn't mean sell everything and buy an RV or a camper and go around the United States evangelizing. Getting involved doesn't mean selling your house and selling your businesses and moving to Kenya. There's so many ways to get involved in missionary work and helping to support missions, and we'll be talking about that over the next 4 weeks. Amen. Okay, here we go. Over 8 billion people on planet Earth, and only 2 billion. If you want to fact check me, go ahead, and if you want to correct me, just do it in an email, okay? Don't do it publicly. But what I found out was 2 billion profess Christianity. 2 billion out of 8. That comes to what? 25%, right? 25% of the world actually profess Christianity. That means there are 6 billion people alive on planet Earth today who do not know Jesus Christ, and should they die today, tomorrow, next week, next month, they're going to go into eternity without Christ. Amen. You've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again. In fact, I'm going to illustrate it once again. But if you were to take people and line them up bumper to bumper, in fact, just give me 4 people real quick. Let's do Steve, Rolf, young man, can I borrow you in the white shorts? Can I borrow you this morning? And let's get one more back there. Okay, brother guitar player, come on up. Would you all come up here real quick just for illustration's sake? Okay, I got 1 skinny guy and 1, no. Thank you, guys. This is just for illustration purposes, and I've done this illustration before, but I believe it's going to bear witness again. If you were to stand, Chet, come here and stand in front of him, just as tight as you can get.
You're blocking me.
Yeah, trying to be blocked. Let's put you in the front. Put the taller one. Come here, Roy. You're in the back. You're going to stand here and face him. Just as tight as you can get. I don't even want to be able to get a piece of paper between you guys. Rolf, would you come in and stand in front of him now? Let's see. Are you going to block him?
Yeah. He's blocking me.
Yeah, okay. Switch. Okay. Tight. Tight.
Just keep me in the front.
What's your name?
Arch.
Yes. Archie. Thank you for being here this morning. First time?
No.
Oh, forgive me. Good to have you again. Good to see you again.
Can you scoot down a little bit?
Okay. You got these 4 guys. They're so close that I can't get my hand between them. Can't get a piece of paper between them. But here's the illustration I want to show you. If you put A person here, a person here, a person here, and a person here, and you line them up all the way down this aisle, all the way out to the foyer, all the way across the parking lot, and you direct them east towards St. Genevieve. And they're still bumper to bumper to bumper people, bumper to bumper bumper people, just as close as you can get them. And I mean, by the time we get to the parking lot, it's everybody in this church, right? But wait just a minute. We're going to go to, as the crow flies, we're going to go to St. Genevieve, all right? We're going to line up all the way to St. Jen, then we're going to go, what's east of St. Jen? Then we're going to go Chester, and then we're going to go all the way over to the Atlantic Ocean, okay? The Atlantic Ocean. How many knows that's a lot? That's a bunch of people.
Yeah.
I mean, you got four people here in a four foot. So anyway, you get that many people together, and you take them all the way bumper to bumper to the Atlantic Ocean. You take them all the way across the Atlantic Ocean and all the way through, my geography is going to mess up right here, but you take them through Europe, you take them through Asia, you take them through Africa, take them all the way around the world until they come all the way back to Los Angeles, and they get back on shore, and here's more people, man. They're just all lined up all the way around the globe to L.A., but it doesn't stop there. They come all the way back from L.A. right here to Solid Rock Church in Farmington, Missouri. How many believe that could be a lot of people? Huh? That'd be a lot of people. How many think it might take four or five rings to complete those 6 billion people that are lost and without Jesus Christ? I mean, we're going around the world. I don't know. Mark, you probably know how many miles the circumference of this world is. You know a lot. But anyway, I don't know, but I'm telling you what, 8 or 10 lines, that would be a lot of people, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir?
Amen.
Yes, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That'd be eight people. That'd be eight lines. That'd be a lot of people. But I'm going to tell you something. It wouldn't take 8 lines. It wouldn't take 10 lines. It wouldn't take 12 lines. It wouldn't take 15 lines. It wouldn't take 20 lines. It would take 25 lines just like this, wrapping around the earth 25 times to equal the 6 billion people that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You don't think we have a mission? You don't think we have a responsibility and a duty to God who sent his only son to die on the cross for the sins of the whole world? He didn't die just for the USA. He died for the whole world. 25 lines around the United States, around the world, in order to equal how many people that are lost and don't know Jesus. Give these guys a good hand. They're pretty good actors. Thank you, guys. Woo! Got through that one. That's a lot of people. I've flown around the world before. It takes a long time just to fly around the world. But when you put that many people together and you put 25 lines, that's about how many people do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Doesn't that give us something to think about? Doesn't that somehow affect our heart just a little bit? That many people that don't know Jesus Christ, that should they die, they're going to go into eternity. If they don't hear the name of Jesus, if they don't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're going to go into eternity lost. Population in 2024, 8,005,176,000. Now listen to this. I want to break it down by the country just for a little bit. Do we have this graphic? I don't know if we do or not. Where we break it down by percentages. Okay. Yeah. Okay, here we go. The world population is 8 million. And if you break it down by country, I'm only going to give you three countries. But India has 18% of the world's population. China has 17% of the world's population. The United States has 4% of the population. And all the other nations of the world have 3.5% or less. That's a lot of people, isn't it? That's a lot of unreached people groups. That's a lot of nations. That's a lot of languages. Can I hear a good amen this morning? Amen. The United States only has 4.3% of the world's population. But look how many churches we have. Look how many believers we have. What are we doing? What are we doing? Are we keeping it to ourselves? Or are we spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? Galatians 3:13. Are you still with me? Okay. Still love me? Only heard one no. Thank you. 13 and 14, Galatians 3:13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice, everyone that hangs on to Jesus hung on the tree. Why? So that the blessings of Abraham might come up on the Gentiles, the entire world. Genesis 12 and 1 says, the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, get away from your kindred, get out of your father's house. I'll show you where you're supposed to go. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I love this little phrase in here that says, I will bless you, I will make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Everybody say, I shall be a blessing. I should be a blessing. We're to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Now, let me tell you something. That doesn't mean just give them money or give them shoes or give them a meal or give them toilet paper or give them daily necessities. That we're talking about our assignment is to bless all people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We use these other items as teasers to tell them about Jesus. We'll give them food to tell them about Jesus, how good God is. We'll give them shoes to tell them how wonderful God is and how he provides. We will, because we give all the glory to God for everything we do. We'll give them things that are necessities of life, but we will mix it with the gospel saying, it's because of Jesus Christ that these gifts are coming to you. Amen? Says, notice it says that the blessings of Abraham will come up on the Gentiles. That means all ethnic groups, all languages. So 2 Corinthians, let's see, 2 Corinthians 5:18. If you're still with me, say, I'm here. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. God has given to each of us the task of reconciling people to him. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Right, brother? Where'd he go? Brother Alex, get back in here. No longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. What are we doing with the message? This is not a guilt message. And I was going to give you a disclaimer at the beginning. There probably won't be a lot of shouting in this message. But it's a message to make us aware of our responsibility to the world that Jesus died for. Now, you don't have to be a clown and go out there and try to, you know, win people, foolish ways. Just live your life and tell them how good God's been to you. Tell them how good God is. Tell them how God answered your prayers. It's like somebody said, who did I hear that on TV this morning? Or did somebody say it? I went to pray for somebody and they said, no, I don't want you to pray for me because I'm not a believer. I think I heard that on Keith Moore this morning. Don't pray for me because I don't believe that. And somebody said, well, I do believe. And if you don't mind, could I just pray for you? And they finally said, yeah. Nobody's ever said no to prayer. Hello? Nobody's going to turn you down for prayer. That's all we got to do. Show them the goodness of the Lord. Pastor, why don't we just evangelize our own country? After all, America's losing ground. You know, after all, how can we possibly talk about evangelizing the world when our whole United States of America is going to hell in a handbasket? Well, I want you to know something. There's a difference between the unreached and the untold. Say, you hear me? There's a difference, a big difference between the unreached and the untold. And by the way, that's probably a good question, and I'll answer it the same way Brother Luke would answer it. What are you doing? People that say, well, we shouldn't be given to world missions. We ought to be given to local missions. And the question is, well, what are you giving? What are you doing to help the local missions? And thank God we do have a ministry right here in our own community that we're involved with, not just around the world. But listen to this, Romans 15 and 20. My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard. Y'all see that? My goal, my ambition, my desire is to preach the message of Christ where the message of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. That's reaching the unreached. John Osteen used to always say at the beginning and the ending of every service, reaching the unreached, telling the untold, and loving the unlovely. That's what Lakewood Church is all about, reaching the unreached, telling the untold, and loving the unlovely. Now, in verse 24, the Apostle Paul goes on. Look at what he says here in Romans 15, 24. He says, I plan to go to Spain, and when I do, I will stop off in Rome. And after I've enjoyed your fellowship for a while, notice these last few lines. You can provide for my journey. One translation says, you can send me on my way again. In other words, you can get involved in sending me to Spain. You can get involved in sending me to world missions. You can help by giving to help somebody else to go. In other words, he said, I'm going to Spain, but you're not going. But you can send me, and by sending me, you have a part in the going. Amen? Amen. I'd love for every one of you to go with us on a missions trip. I've had so many people tell me in this church, oh, we'd just love to go to Georgia. We'd love to go to Armenia with you. We'd love to go to Kenya. We'd love to go to Tanzania. We'd love to go with you guys. But when it comes right down to it, how many knows it's a difficult decision? Now, Brother and Sister Sue wanted to go with us a couple years ago, and I talked them out of it because I knew it was going to be a rough journey, and I didn't think physically that they would be able to do that, and I'm so glad that you let me talk to you, because it was a very rough journey. I mean, Carissa and Darlene and I, by the time we walked up six flights of steps, we were worn out carrying 50-pound bags of suitcases, you know, and it got old, but, you know, not everybody can go, but how many knows you can send? You can send. You can send, amen? Acts 1 and 8, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will receive the power to testify about me with great effect to the people of Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, about my death and resurrection. Those four are concurrent assignments. They're not just to be done one at a time. They're to be all four done at the same time, in your city, in your state, in your country, and through the uttermost parts of the world. We take the gospel. We don't just say Farmington only. We have to take the gospel around the world. Is that okay today? Are y'all learning anything? Let's look at 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not for ours, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Can you see where Jesus has left us a great commission? It's not called the great suggestion. Amen? It's not, hey, here's a great idea. Why don't you go into all the world? No, it's a great commission. And it's not just for America. So let me share with you this morning the difference between the unsaved and the unreached. The unsaved and the unreached. Believe it or not, there are people right here in America that aren't born again. Right? There's people that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But it's not because they are unreached. They are reachable. I mean, you get to surf through. How many gospel TV stations do you have to surf through to find whatever you're looking for, right? There's TV, there's gospel TV, there's gospel radio. There's churches on every block in every city of the United States of America. I mean, you got to be, I'm not going to say that word, but the gospel is within earshot of every person in America. There's no excuse for not having heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in America. Thank you for agreeing with me. But there are millions of people in the 1040 window that have never even heard of the name of Jesus. Now, this blows my mind. It really grips my heart when I hear about people that are unreached. There may be some that haven't heard or they haven't accepted, but there's a lot of people that's never even heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's where we come in. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, allow me to read a little bit. Maybe you've heard the term 1040 window in a sermon. You're not really sure what the word 1040 means, and I want to take just a minute and explain it to you. The 1040 window is a rectangular geographical area stretching from North Africa through Middle East to Asia, covering 68 countries. That's the 1040 window. The name comes from the position between the 10 degrees and the 40 degrees north latitude. Two-thirds of the world's population lives in this 1040 window. Now listen, the Joshua Project estimates that 5.1 billion people live in this area, representing 8,700 ethnic groups that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Three out of five people in the 1040 window have no access to the gospel. And according to the Joshua Project, 68% of the 1040 window's ethnic groups are considered unreached. Considered unreached. So again, the window, the 1040 window, is this rectangular area, North Africa, the Middle East, and Asia, approximately 10 degrees north and 40 degrees north latitude, and it's often called the resistant belt. I have a graphic here I want to show you this morning. I want to show you this graphic. When we say 1040 window, we're referring to this area of North Africa, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan. The yellow where it says Hinduism is India. The purple up there is China. The lower part where it says Buddhism, that's Myanmar, Thailand, and those different places like that. And those are places that don't have the opportunity to hear the gospel like we do. You know, we can't even get into Burma right now. We're trying to get some people to come to us. I have to watch what I say on live stream, but we want to see some of our missions from Burma try to be with us in March. But you know what? Visas aren't easy to get anymore, especially from countries where the military is running the country. You can't even get into Burma anymore. You can't get into some of these countries. It's unreachable. Show us the next graphic, if you would, please. This breaks it down a little bit better for you to see which countries are where. You can see the countries of the northern countries of Africa. This 1040 window, 10 degrees, 40 degrees. It's Algeria. I'm not even going to try to read them all, but I just mentioned some of them a while ago. That line goes all the way across there. Look at the big hunk of China that is involved in that window there, who's not doesn't have the gospel preached to them. You say, Pastor, what are you talking? We have a responsibility. You know what? If we can't go, we can pray. If we can't pray, we can send. If we can't send, we can pray some more. There is something that God, the heart of God, yearns for these people to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as your pastor, I'm telling you, it's my desire to move this church, this congregation, in the year 2025 to doing more than we've ever done before and become addicted to missions like we've never become addicted before. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I feel like I just hit a brick wall. You're listening, right? I've listed just a few suggestions that will help us to mobilize ourselves to become more involved in missions. Number one, if you're taking notes, the greatest gift, somebody has said, the greatest gift any church can sow to the nations is the ministry of their pastor. Now, I'm not trying to be self-indulging. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or Darlene, or please understand, you got to know my heart. That's not my desire. But the best thing a church can do is send their pastor on a missions trip. I would to God that these little churches throughout Missouri and the Pentecost Church of God would rise up and say, we can send our pastor on a short-term mission trip, because it'll change the life of that church. That's what changed Darlene and I. We were going to missions conferences. We got invited to go to Kenya. That turned our lives around. We have been involved in missions since 1989 of going to these countries, and we have no intent of slowing down. Somebody told us the other day, well, you're 75 years old. You're going to have to slow down pretty soon. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me I have to slow down. Amen. But how long are you going to go? Until I can't go. Right? So anyway, all I'm saying is, you know, thank you. You guys send us every year, a couple times a year. We're up to two times a year now. One time we go to Eastern Europe, and then the next time we go to the African nations. And twice a year we're doing that, and thank you for your support. In fact, since I'm on that subject, we leave 4 weeks from tomorrow to go to the Republic of Georgia for a leadership conference and a ladies' conference. 4 weeks from tomorrow. I mean, I just got home. I got to be gone this next week to a convention. I got another conference I got to be at Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So anyway, that's what ministry is all about. Ministry is not a 40-hour week, right? Number two, we should take the time every Sunday morning to pray for a particular nation and a particular missionary. We have these banners up here. I would imagine that most of the people at Solid Rock cannot name all of these banners that we have flying here today. And it's just a portion of the nations of the world. But we need to be praying for nations. When you come into this building and you see these flags or you see these posters, how hard would it be to stop and take 30 seconds and say, Lord, I recognize that guy being from. There's a banner that's got all kinds of faces on there. Lord, I pray for the Arabic people. Lord, I pray for the Buddhist people. I pray, God, for the Muslims. Lord, I pray for Lord, just touch their heart. Send somebody across their path that will share Jesus with them. How long would it take us every Sunday when we come in to say a prayer? Oh, there's a Canadian flag. Let's pray for those Canadian people up there. How many of they need our prayers? Let's pray for Japan. They need our prayers. That's why we have these reminders up here to help us to pray. We don't have to do it out loud ever publicly together. We can do it individually when we come in. Amen? I think I'll have a drink. Number three, we used to do this, Dwayne and Luke and Dwayne and Lou and several of you have been with us, but we used to have annual short missions trips that were affordable. Because Mark, you went with us to Mexico. We went there and we went every year for several years and built a house for a pastor or for a family that lived in the ghetto. Actually, it was called the city dumps, wasn't it? They lived in the dumps. And we built a house for them. And it was a nice house. It wasn't just something that this couple over here, Luke and Christy, took their honeymoon. Crazy, crazy. They took their honeymoon on a mission trip to Mexico. And what I'm saying is, you know, we made a little difference in some people's lives. Didn't cost us an arm and a leg. We were able to do that project pretty reasonable, and we just fly to Texas and catch a van into Mexico and build a house in 3 days and come back home. We had a blast, had a lot of fun. I remember little Mary Rector. She used to get out there, and she was I don't know if she went to play or if she went to work, but she loved to paint the boards and paint the people. I mean, I love it when our teenagers take missions trips. We've taken them to Arizona, to the Indian reservations. Our teenagers have went and ministered through puppets in different ways to all the children there on the Indian reservation. There's so many short-term mission trips that we can do that'll help people. I know, John, you've been involved in missions and the church that you're previously from. They go and build houses and build churches, and we've had the pleasure of building some churches. And it's what a joy it is to walk away from there, stand back, give the keys to the house, to the pastor, or to the family and say, this is your new house. We dedicate this to the glory of God. May the Lord bless you. We don't want anything. Goodbye. We're out of here. Amen. Oh, there's nothing like it. Oh, just talking about it gives me goosebumps. So, man, there's just so many things that we can do. Number four, I think this is the last one. If the worship team wants to come on up. Another way we can mobilize our church for missions is to include missions in your weekly or monthly giving budget. The last time I said that, there was a gentleman in this church that took that challenge. He's not rich, doesn't have very much money, lives from week to week, but he makes sure that he gives to missions on a monthly basis. He makes sure that and it doesn't come out of his tithes. I know we can say, well, I'll cut my tithes in half and give half to missions and half to the church. Listen, if you do that, then we won't have the church to help support the missions. We've got to take care of the church, but then we can give out of the overflow to the missions. But you know, if we would just learn to give, I'll give an extra $25 a month to the missions. I'll give an extra $100 a month. I'll give an extra $500 a month to missions. I don't even want to tell you how much we give to missions, but every week, we put in a lot for missions. Besides the tithe. But we do that because I believe in missions. I'm not looking for a free ride to the Republic of Georgia. I'm not looking for a free ride to Kenya. I invest in missions. I believe in missions. And so another way we can mobilize this church is to learn to just set aside, you know, even if it's just $5 a week or $5 a month, I set this aside for missions. And our little kids, don't they? Our little children up in children's church, they give hundreds of dollars to missions in their little, what do they call those things, bears or banks or something? John, you know what those are. Because we got the idea from your old church up there. But, you know, they fill these things up and then they give them. I had one little boy in children's church come up to me and give me his money that he had saved for a cruise. He'd been saving for a cruise. And he said, Papa Rhodes, I want to give you this for your trip to Georgia. You talk about a humbling experience. That's not easy to do. But we can do something, can't we? I believe we could increase our giving. You say, Brother Lords, we're living in the worst of times. Yeah, but we're also living in the best of times. Isn't that the way the story starts? It was the best of times and the worst of times. I might have got that backwards. I don't know. But we can say, God, what would you have me to do? Lord, I know I can get involved somehow in missions. Help me to do something on a weekly, monthly, regular basis. Because we believe Jesus died for the whole world. Amen. Right now, we are honored to support every month two missions in the nation of Israel. By the way, I'm going to show you a video as soon as we go offline. I can't show you this video online, but as soon as we say goodbye to our online audience, I have a video I want to show you. Thank God we're supporting two missions in Israel. We're supporting missions in Burma. And I talk about every month this church gives monthly to different missions around the world. Georgia's building a new church in New York City. They're building a brand new putting a church together for the Georgian people of New York that had to go to Russian churches. Now they can go to their Georgian churches and be ministered to. And so there's a lot, and we're sowing into that. I heard somebody say earlier something about the Samaritan's Purse. We're writing a check this week to Samaritan's Purse to help those people in North Carolina that don't have the necessities of life. Solid Rock's going to write a check. I think Franklin Graham's a great organization to invest in. And so, you know, if any of this that you want to help do, feel free to do it. And we'll make sure that it gets there. So what are we going to do today? I've heard the word. I've sat here. I've listened. I got my feathers ruffled. I didn't like what that was. I didn't like that part. Why did he have to say that? He could have went all hour and not said that. But listen, what are we going to do with what we've heard? Are we going to hear the word this morning, or are we going to receive the word? What are you going to do? Hear the word? You know, if you're hearers only, how many knows your house will be destroyed when the storm comes? Or can we be doers of the word? Not everybody can give $1,000. Not everybody can give $100. But how many know somebody can give a dollar? We just do our little part. You know what I heard? You know what I heard the other day? This really blessed me. No names. Somebody takes their garden vegetables to an auction, and they tell the people it all goes to the women's ministry of women around the world. So just whatever you want to give, just give. And they always give generously, and so they're keeping this money in an envelope, and they're just keeping it until March, and then they're going to give it to the ladies' conference. Listen, folks, anybody can get involved in missions. I don't care how big or how small. Just get involved. Amen. Okay, I got to read this to you. In Matthew chapter 9, stand to your feet with me. I know you've been sitting a while. I'm going to let you go home here. I want you to go home. I want you to change clothes. I want you to put on your shorts and your t-shirts. I want you to grab your camping chairs. Bring your chairs. If you have any of those long grill things, what do you call them? Roasting sticks. If you got any roasting sticks, I threw all mine away, so you don't have to use my rusty ones this year. But bring your own. Roasting sticks, we want you to come out and have a good time. We'll have a fire going on. Start the fire probably about 6 o'clock and just have a big old bonfire going out there. And hay ride. We've got barrel cars. We got bouncy houses. What else we got? Somebody help me.
Food.
Yeah, lots of food. Yes, of course. We're Pentecostal. We're full gospel. Have a good time. I'll let you go in just a minute. But before I do, I want to read this verse to you. Thank you for listening this morning. Thank you for grabbing a hold of this message today. It's changing. It's changing the culture of Solid Rock Family Church. We've got to get involved in missions more and more and more. Jesus says this: the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The Lord Jesus teaches us, pray to God, call upon him, send laborers into the harvest. The nations of the world must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they can only hear it as we answer the call. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. I can go to my next door neighbor. I can go to that needy family across the street. I can tell that person at the stop sign about Jesus. He needs Jesus more than he needs a $5 bill. I can tell about the love of God. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you will raise up people in Solid Rock that have a genuine heart of compassion for the lost. Father, open our eyes that we're going to see. Help us to see. Give us a vision, Lord, of all of those people drifting into hell because they've never heard the name of Jesus. Increase us, God. Increase our capacity to receive this word, to do more in the kingdom of God. I ask you, God, raise up evangelists. Raise up ministers that can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Raise up missionaries. Raise them right out of this church, Lord. There's some more Jennifer Brocks out there. There's some other people out there, Lord, that can answer the call to missions. God, may we set aside our American dream to fulfill your dream, your desires. Open our eyes to see how great the need is. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Help us to say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm willing to do whatever, Lord. If I can't go, I can send. I can be involved in world missions. I can be involved in fulfilling the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'll say yes. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes to your call. I'll say yes to your will.
I'll say yes, Lord.